Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome again to the different Bible study series based on Paul's epistle to the Colossians. This is study number 4, Starkly Different Values. It's based on Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, which happens to say, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." So it's an exciting passage of scripture, actually, talking about, firstly, the fact that the Colossians were under the barrage of the Gnostics, the false teachers who were teaching that they had to, that the Colossians had to add something to their faith in Christ. And of course, Christianity is not Christ, or is not faith in Christ plus, not plus anything, it's just faith in Christ. And the Gnostics were teaching that it was plus this, plus that, whatever, as we'll see as we go through this epistle. Now, as I recommend with all of these studies, it's not just an information session, it's actually a community building session. And so to do that, I encourage there to be banter, I encourage there to be chit-chat, I encourage you to facilitate some kind of hospitality, whether you're the host, I hope you're not, I hope you have a host appointed, and that there's some kind of cold or hot drinks available, some kind of snacks available. It just adds to the social capacity of what you're doing as well, which reinforces the study. Then I encourage you to share the load around. I encourage you to have different people read the different questions, have them read some of the statements in between the questions, and get people involved, maybe move around the room. You might like to start when you move from wherever you're having that informal get-together into a space where you get underway with the study. And to do that change of gear, you may like to introduce an icebreaker question. The icebreaker question could be something completely silly. It doesn't matter. It actually lightens up the start of the night. It could be something like if you walked into your home, when you get home now, and you came across $10 million in a box written with your name on it, "Please accept my gift," is the note, and you opened up that box and it's $10 million in cash. Question, what would you do with it? And let's just see what people say. I'm just pulling that icebreaker question out of a hat. It could be anything. Or you may do that and you may do this, or you may just do this, and that is one thing you're thankful for, one thing you would like prayer for. And you write down the prayer requests, and at the end of the night, bring those out and have the group take one of those prayer requests that another group member has offered and pray for it. So looking at this starkly different values. Paul is writing this epistle as a prisoner in Rome. His vocation as an apostle of Christ had cost him dearly. Now that word vocation is something that implies it's not just a job. It's not just a 9-to-5 clock on clock off job. It's not even just a career. Now while people may have jobs, people may have careers, a vocation is something you give your life to. And for Paul, his vocation was being a servant, a minister of Christ, and it had cost him dearly. Question one, note some of what Paul had endured in the course of his service of Christ and his gospel based on 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. So we're moving out of Colossians just now to have a look at this, and you'll see that it lists a whole bunch of things. It says this, "Are we servants of Christ, or are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less 1. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own countrymen, or my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety or my concern for all the churches. So someone, if you read that out, or a long passage like that, I would recommend you have one person each read a verse. There'll be five or six verses there for them to read. And just note, this is what it cost him to be a servant of Christ. This is the price that's been paid for us today to have faith in Christ. Because firstly, Paul was used to write, you know, something like 2/3 of the New Testament and establish the church in Europe, which ultimately, I'm presuming, most of us can trace our spiritual ancestry back to. So thank God that he endured all that. And ultimately, for the sake of those he immediately ministered to, and, well, should I say immediately for the sake of those he immediately ministered to, but ultimately, we're the beneficiaries of that. So he had a completely different set of values right there, based on what you give your life to. Question two, yet what was Paul's attitude to all that he had suffered for Christ according to Colossians 1:24, which says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. That's not a typo, by the way. There's no other ancient manuscript to correct that. That is what Paul said. And in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church. Now, that's an interesting expression. So let's have a look at it in the next paragraph. Paul states that his sufferings were filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. That's in the English Standard Version. It would be wrong to think that Paul was stating that Christ's suffering and death was insufficient to atone for the sins of mankind, and that his atonement needed to be completed by the suffering of his people. So Paul's statement seems to correspond to what Christ told his followers in John 16, verse 33. So you have invite someone to read that, and it says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Question three, based on Colossians 1:25, which says, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. So based on that verse, what did Paul see as his primary ministry responsibility? And you note there, he saw his primary ministry responsibility to make known the word of God. To make known the word of God. So a church that is not preaching the word, a pastor that is not teaching the word, is really not fulfilling their primary core ministry responsibility. It's the word of God that is going to build up, strengthen, and safeguard a church. And Paul saw that as his primary responsibility. Over the page. The Gnostics claimed that they had special knowledge of certain events, certain mysteries that could lead a person to salvation. Question four, read Colossians 1:26, which says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. And notice to whom had the true mystery, that is God's plan, was to save all people, including both Jews and Gentiles, would be accomplished through the atonement of his son, actually being revealed. So, again, read that passage, that verse, and notice to whom had the true mystery actually been revealed. And we've got an A, B, C, D multiple choice quiz here. A, just to the Gnostics because they had specialized in mysteries. Wrong. B, just to women because they themselves are mysterious. Well, technically that answer is partly true, but not in this instance. C, just to the Greeks who invented philosophical mysteries. Well, No. D. To all Christians by the revelation of the Holy Spirit and taught by the apostles. Yes, that's the answer. And I've got here just a little humorous footnote. If you get stuck, have a look at the next verse, which is verse 27, Colossians 1:27, which says, to them, that is to the church, the Gentiles, believers, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Question 5, how does Paul explain what this mystery, which he refers to in Colossians 1:26, actually was, according to Colossians 1:27? So I'll read that again. Colossians 1:27, to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what's the mystery? Christ in you. When you become a Christian, it's not just that you belong to Christ, it's that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, you come into him, Christ in you. You in Christ and Christ in you. It's a mystery. And it's one that the believer, really, you could dwell on this. Think about this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery which Paul says has now been revealed. So Christianity, we might break it down as this. Christ in. Christian, Christ in. One who has Christ living inside them. Question 6. Paul regarded the message of salvation as the message of Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:28, which says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So it's the word of God being taught, and it's the word of God about Christ that Paul taught. So according to that verse, how did he do this, and what was his goal? Well, his goal was to present everyone mature in Christ. And what does mature in Christ look like? It looks like us taking on the character and the attitude of Christ. So Christ becomes our role, not just our role model, our goal, our God. And you always become like what you worship. Last question, question 7, based on Colossians 1:29, what was it that Paul said motivated him so strongly to preach to so many people with such passion? What can we learn from this in our own service of Christ? Colossians 1:29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. What can we learn? If we're not passionate like Paul, we should pray to be. That's what we should learn. Well, I hope you have a great discussion. Break out those prayer requests, go around the room, pray for the needs that were presented at the start of the meeting, and we'll be back for study number 5, A Different Wisdom.